with the Interactive Interview right here online.
This is the show that gives you the opportunity to interact with your favorite professional wrestlers, past, present, and future. This is the longest reigning wrestling talk show on the internet today. This is the Interactive Interview, and you are in the epicenter.
This week on the Interactive Interview, after 5 years away, Jake the Snake Roberts slithers his way back into the epicenter. Stay tuned.
And it all starts now.
Welcome back to the Interactive Interview here on WrestlingEpicenter.com. It is James Walsh, joined as always by Mr. Patrick Kelly.
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy, y'all, indeed. And joining us again for the first time in a few weeks here is Nick Noel Griffin from the forums. How you doing?
Well, I'm pretty good.
All righty, guys. We'll say again?
I'm a lot better right now than Ring of Honor probably is.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but we'll get into that in just a sec. For those who are tuning in, this is the Jake the Snake Roberts interview, and we had Jake the Snake on probably about, 5 years ago, and that was a three-part interview, which was arguably one of our greatest of all times. It got probably the most amount of press, and it actually got the attention of Acclaim Media. For those who don't know what that was, they were the ones who did those Legends of Wrestling games. And it got the attention of Acclaim Media, and it was through us that Jake ended up on that game. Now, I know Warrior didn't get paid for that Legends of Wrestling game because the company went bankrupt. I hope Jake did, otherwise that could... He might be pissed at us that we made him go through that effort, and then he got nothing out of it. But oh well. Jake Roberts joined us again to talk about his new Snake Tales DVDs, which is apparently rib busters, jokes and things like that that he has experienced over the years. And it basically, from what I was told by Chris Yandick, is Jake has a camera, and whenever something pops in his head, he turns it on and records himself telling the story. Which actually could be a funny idea.
Yeah.
That
sounded interesting.
You gotta love Jake. Anyway... we were discussing just a second ago Ring of Honor, and Nick has a special place in his heart for ROH. I'm going to be a little bit quiet during this conversation because I really don't know much about it. Nick, you want to take the lead on this one?
Yeah, it's just been a kind of an interesting week for Ring of Honor. It kind of started out with the report by Steve Gerwick that they had papered one of their shows, giving away free tickets in an effort to increase people that were actually on the show for the DVD shoot. And that's just the latest in a long line of reports that they're not packing them in like they used to. And by Sunday, the story broke that Kerry Silkin, the owner of Ring of Honor, had released Gabe Sabalski, who's been booking the promotion since day one, of his duties as booker, and later named Adam Pearce, who's a former NWA world champion, the new booker of Ring of Honor, and also today Gabe resigned, apparently, from booking Full Impact Pro, which is the sister promotion of Ring of Honor.
Wow. So it sounds like ROH is getting a bit of a makeover.
Yeah. It's probably the guy who, you know, buys their products the most. I mean, if you actually go back into the forum on the Wrestling App Center, you can see that myself and forum member Cloud have said it repeatedly that pretty much since the Cage of Death to conclude the war with Combat Zone Wrestling, Ring of Honor has kind of been out of steam. I mean, if there's, you know, I use the term burnout, it kind of seemed like Gabe Sabalski had burned out. I mean, as great as a creative force that he was, it just seemed like he was out of ideas. And the promotion has been pretty boring, and financially they're probably not in the best shape right now because their pay-per-views, which they hoped would bring in a bunch of new fans, really haven't brought in that many people, and they're not that good, despite what some people will tell you. And their national DVD deal is essentially not considered a flop, but it's also not really
turning them over. As a matter of fact, I talked to a friend of mine who stocks movies for Suncoast, and I asked him, how do the ROH DVDs? He said it like this. He said, WWE usually flies. TNA, it depends. The ROH stuff can literally sit on the shelves and only gather dust. Like,
wow.
And attendance has been falling, and it just seems like the promotion has hit a rough spot, and they're now it looks like more or less Kerry Silkin, who is the owner of Ring of Honor, has decided that the time has come to make some changes, and it's possible that when he started talking about changes, that Gabe was uncomfortable and really didn't want to go in that direction, so that's why he got relieved. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's Kerry's promotion to do what he wants with. He wants to go into the middle of the ring and, you know, hand a duck the World Heavyweight Championship, he can do it.
Yeah, I think that if Ring of Honor seriously wants to get a TV deal, I do think that some kind of a makeover or some change of direction is needed, because I don't think that product would work on a mainstream level as it is. So maybe that's what they're trying to do, maybe set it up for eventually get a TV deal, which would be beneficial to the wrestling business overall.
Well, there's actually reports that when... please understand, I don't know Gabe Sapolsky personally, but from what I've heard, when they would talk to him about his TV deal, he never saw the benefit of it. He would always kind of like dismiss it, and people say he's kind of a stubborn guy. Like, if he believes in one thing, there's no moving him. So, I mean, I'm talking to an ROH fan, but their pay-per-views look terrible. And except for the main events, they are the most boring shows you can watch.
Well, I think that's part of the reason they got such great reviews, I think. And once again, I haven't watched any of the pay-per-views, so I can't really give too fair of an evaluation. But it seems like that the internet wrestling community based the success of pay-per-views solely off, like, how good they think the matches were. And not necessarily, you know, okay, what was the storyline advancement of the pay-per-views? What was the energy of the pay-per-view? The reason Cena's title reign sucked so bad, because he held the belt for a year, and it was just the same thing over and over again once a month. In Ring of Honor, I kind of got the same vibe from reading the results. It's like I'm reading the same results once a month. Nothing really changes. It's just matches for the sake of matches.
I mean, for the last 3 years, it seems, the main feud has been Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness, both of whom I think are fantastic wrestlers, but it's like they keep always rebuilding that feud. It's like sixth anniversary show, McGuinness versus Danielson. Next pay-per-view, Danielson has to fight everyone that McGuinness has beat on pay-per-view to get another title shot. Lo and behold, he does all that, and the main event for the next pay-per-view will be McGuinness-Danielson again. They dragged on the Briscoe Brothers versus Kevin Steen and El Generico feud, and they're trying to revive that again. I mean, and they've done a lot of sports entertainment stuff this year. They did this whole weird angle with a wrestler called Delirious and Daisy Hayes and a guy called Rhett Titus. I basically spoke several times and said, if they change the name to Abyss, AJ Styles, and Matt, or Abyss, Karen Angle, and AJ Styles, the internet would be crapping all over it.
Probably.
It's kind of a down period for a couple of reasons. Like I said, I think Gabe got burned out. And number two, a lot of the great talent is gone. You know, when I think of the best matches in Ring of Honor history, I list Samoa Joe, I list CM Punk, Alex Shelley. Well, gone, gone, and gone.
And I would even throw guys who were there in the early days, like Chris Sabin and Low Ki and AJ Styles. They were kind of, and Christopher Daniels as well, they were kind of like the life force of the early days of Ring of Honor, and none of them are there anymore either.
Right, and because they're not moving forward, that they're not trying to build, I mean, they're trying to kind of build a guy called Tyler Black into the next big thing, but it's like he's not AJ Styles, despite what some people would like to think. He's one of those guys who I feel like if they put him on, you know, television, people would go, that is the skinniest and palest guy I've ever seen in my life.
Is it Colin Delaney or whatever his name was?
No.
Is that his brother?
He actually kind of makes Colin Delaney look tan.
Alrighty. My thought here, if I could interject, here's what I think.
I think that I'm going to throw it to a music reference because that's what I know. You never really hear about a punk band releasing a great record 10 years after they broke. If you know what I'm saying, it's kind of a, here's my first impression, and now everything else from here is going to be a fizzle. And I think that's ultimately what happened with Ring of Honor. I think with Ring of Honor, what you got was something different from what the WWE and TNA, well, TNA hadn't even started yet, but just go with me on this one, from what the WWE was doing. And for that reason, it was popular. However, I never, at any point over the past, what is it, 6 years that ROH has been around? Almost seven?
Close to seven, yeah.
In that time, I've heard them argue, oh, well, we don't need TV. If you're a wrestling company in the United States and you hope to ever be more than just a small-time indie promotion, you need TV.
That was the goal that TNA shot for. That's why they settled for a weekly pay-per-view deal in the early days. Because they needed some form of episodic television.
Which was going to be what WCW was going to become if Bischoff had gotten it. Because Turner was going to cancel the TV, so the idea was, okay, then fine. If we have no other choice, then we'll put it on pay-per-view once a week, and we'll charge $10 a week until we can get a TV deal.
Which is not the most appealing concept, but like I said, you need that TV deal.
Well, I mean, TNA is still around. I mean, it may not have been the ideal circumstance, but if they hadn't done it, maybe the promotion would not be in existence today. I mean,
and
Jeff Jarrett even said when he was trying to get financial backers after his initial deal fell apart, at least then he had a taste he could take to people and say, and to eventually to Bob Carter and say, okay, this is what we've already done. We can put a TV show together. We just need the money to put it together. I mean, everything's already in place. We just need that money.
And I like, I might be one of the few people, but if somebody asks if I'm a Ring of Honor, if a total nonstop action wrestling fan, I say I am, but my favorite time of TNA history was those Wednesday night pay-per-views. That's my personal opinion. Anyway. All right, so what is going to happen with...
Funny thing, one more point. I was just thinking of this. WWE, 2 weeks in a row, and I'm not trying to make too big a deal out of this, but they fell below 3.0 in the ratings 2 weeks in a row, and I can't remember the last time that that's happened. Can anybody...
I really can't. I mean, and it's not even like they're at a different time. They're at the same time. They're not on a different network. They're on the same network. It's just, it's not good for them. I remember it was about, 2 years ago we were thinking, okay, well now they're falling down into the threes out of fours. That's not a good sign. Well, now they're falling into the twos.
Right. Yeah, now people, you know, say all the time, well, it can't get any worse, and then it gets worse, and it makes you wonder what eventually... Something's going to have to happen, or I don't know what. I'm just saying this is not a good trend. And then you hear about Ring of Honor, and they're in trouble right now. And it seems like, for all the flack they get, and maybe this is just me being biased, TNA's the only stable one right now.
Unfortunately, they're stable at 1.1.
Yeah, it's like, well, they're not going down. They're stable, which is not the best situation, but at least we haven't heard any bad news about them, you know, sinking down to a 0.8 or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to ultimately happen with Ring of Honor. I mean, it appears, though, they might try to run a little bit more for profit. I've heard of things, they might start canceling shows and out. Cause one of the big problems they've been doing is they've tried to expand outside of northeastern independent ground, you know, the New Yorks, the Chicagos, the Philadelphias. And it seemed like whenever they would go, they would try to run Nashville, or they would try to run Toronto, it wouldn't do as well. So it seems like they're apparently going to stop doing that, which I think is probably their best option, because I'm like, well, wait, if you go to California, and last year they did a West Coast tour that was nothing short of a disaster for them, you know, I'm like, if you go to California, you better hope you have strong word of mouth, you know. You better hope, you know, that people are actually going to talk about you, since you don't have a TV deal. There's no way to say... You know, you can watch Ring of Honor on such and such at 7, or, when people see me in TNA and they see me like in a TNA Sting shirt, they ask me, oh, hey, is Sting wrestling with the WWE now? I'm like, oh, no, he's with TNA. They're on Spike at TNA Impact on Spike at 8 o'clock on Thursday. It's like, oh, I like Sting. I'm going to have to check that out. But if I wear like a Bryan Danielson t-shirt, plus, be like a mixed martial arts guy or something?
And that's the benefit of having somebody like Sting on your roster. Now, TNA's doing a house show tour in California this weekend. I don't know what kind of business they're going to do over there. It'll be interesting. It seems like they're hyping up Samoa Joe as the big guy because he is from California and apparently has a following there. So hopefully they do well.
Let me say this. There was that whole fiasco in Frisco, right? Which was the big Wrestle Fan Fest.
Right.
The last night of that, ROH did a show in the Cow Palace, one of the famous, most famous wrestling arenas of all time. There was 400 people there.
Wow.
And that would have beat the attendance from this past weekend, because I've heard both nights were about 250.
That's not good.
Ugh.
And then there's the reports that they tapered the show. I'm thinking, okay, if only 250 people show up,
and they papered it
for an independent promotion, because say what you want about TNA, but the Carters, they've pretty much shown, hey, we're willing to ride this out and see how long it can go. I'm not Kerry Silkin's accountant by any means, but I'm willing to bet he probably can't take many bad hits, without before he has to say something like, I can't afford to do this anymore.
I think that time's coming.
I mean, realistically, we could be looking at a situation, and I want to give Adam Pearce a chance as booker, because personally, maybe just having a fresh mind in there, having someone who's going to say, okay, I want to do it this way, and hey, Chris Hero, I'm going to start to build the promotion around you a little bit more, because you're such a good talent, and getting fresh minds in there might help, especially if they go back to their stronger areas. I think I heard something like when Bill Watts died with the UWF, when the UWF died, what affected it more was the Oklahoma, Louisiana area, the oil wells dried up. So Watts didn't have the option of going back home, running a big show in the Superdome and getting a bunch of money to reinfuse his company as he started overspending. That's going to be the question. Can Ring of Honor go back to the Chicagos and the New Yorks and Philadelphia and start making more money and reestablishing themselves and just getting that base stirred up again? Because you need to build, a foundation before you can ever think about branching out. And the problem is, as they branched out, it seemed like the foundation weakened.
All right. And final topic for this week's show, trying to change pace a little bit. Unfortunately, it's not a much more uplifting thing, is where in the world, and I'll do it in the where in the world is Perry Saturn.
Carmen San Diego. that was one of the greatest theme songs in the history of television.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I liked that show. That was a fun show, too.
That was a great show for kids.
Yeah. I miss
anybody who knows what we're talking about, PBS used to do a game show called Where in the World is Carmen San Diego. It was based off the computer games and crap like that. It basically taught kids geography. It was really, really educational and fun show. But anyway, we're serious and sad topic at hand.
All right. Where in the world is Perry Saturn? Now, for those who don't remember, back when we had Terry Runnels on the show, she had said that if anybody knows where he is, let us know, because we're booking for him. And apparently, she wasn't the only one, because from what I'm able to gather, nobody knows where he is, and wrestlers are begging Dave Meltzer to file a missing persons report, which apparently somebody has done, because there's a website that has him listed as a missing person. Now, here's what we've gathered, and by we, I mean Cassie. She looked him up, and the last time that he was active wrestling was 2003 for TNA. Now, he disappeared from TNA in a relatively short order after a pretty crappy match with Kenzo Suzuki.
Kenzo Suzuki, there you go.
Now, in 2004, he was shot 3 times in the back of the neck while trying to stop a mugger from mugging a girl. resulting in him getting a steel plate and bolts in his neck. That is where the story ends. There's unconfirmed reports that he was supposed to or was asked to do Shane Douglas's hardcore homecoming shows. And there's unconfirmed reports, because it's not on IMDb, that he had some kind of role in the wrestler movie with Mickey Rourke. But nobody has anything confirmed with him since 2004. Now, I'm going to throw this out there, and this is something that's not being widely discussed. He was shot 3 times in the back of the neck, stopping a mugger. The mugger shot him 3 times in the back of the neck, which tells me this guy's not just a newcomer. Has anybody ruled out the possibility of the witness protection program?
That's a good point.
I hadn't thought of that either. I mean, I just assumed he was some hermit, you know, living wherever he's living, and he just doesn't go out. He doesn't talk to people if he's, you know, still alive. I think it was discussed at Kowalski's funeral. People were asking about him, and people thought, I think Perry's dead.
Yeah, boy. Well, hey, if anybody's listening to this that knows anything, let us know. We're trying to find him. I'm stopping just shy of calling his ex-wife and saying, hey, where's he at? I actually do have her number, but I'm tempted. But if anybody knows anything, let us know. We'd love to find him. We've been working hard. Cassie's been working really hard trying to find anything. And I mean, if there was something to find that would indicate where he is, we would have found it, but we can't find it anywhere. So, again...
And, you know, it's a shame to lose another wrestler, but it's kind of scary that we don't even know what happened for sure.
We haven't heard from Saturn since his radical pal, Eddie Guerrero, died, since the Chris Benoit tragedy died, and since his Eliminators tag team partner died, or since his trainer died.
Right, I mean...
He hasn't come out and said anything. It wasn't at any of their funerals.
Well,
I mean, you hear things like about guys that weren't even really the level Saturn was, if they pass away or if they get in trouble, you hear about it. Yet, you know, he's now just this, you know, like shadow in the night now, basically, if he's still out there.
It's interesting. Well, it's one of those unsolved mysteries, which, by the way, they're bringing back to TV.
Spike TV. It's like, okay, it won't be as good because they don't have Robert Stack, who unfortunately passed away, but it's still nice to have that show back. Because I was... Okay, this is weird. I watched that show when I was 7, and please confirm that I'm not the only one that did this. I used to keep a notebook of all the murder and raper suspects and keep, like, notes... just in case I saw them on the street so I could report it to Unsolved Mysteries. Did anybody else do this?
You're the only one who might have gone that far with it, but I did watch it when I was that age.
Yeah, because I thought it was my duty as an American citizen to do that.
No, I never took it quite that far, Pat, but it's
God damn it.
Sweet that you did.
I didn't find anybody. That might be a good thing, but... Yeah.
I did the same thing, or I used to watch America's Most Wanted, and I did something like that, but...
Oh, okay, so I'm not alone.
All right.
I didn't, like, write things down, but I would try to, like, to memorize the face of the guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched Perfect Strangers and learned about a guy from Meepos. This was my childhood. All righty, guys. Well, coming up in just a moment, we have the one and only Jake the Snake Roberts, one of our all-time favorite guests here. I think him and Shane Douglas probably hate us the most for the amount of time we kept them on the phone. This time it'll be a shorter one with Jake. We got 15 minutes with him to help promote his new DVD, which you can get at Official Jake Roberts, which is at myspace.com/officialjakeroberts. And you can get this DVD, where it's apparently going to be him busting on the business, talking about road stories and things like that. And from a guy who partied as much as Jake Roberts and has been romantically linked to Missy Hyatt and various other things, I think Rip Stories with Jake could be pretty damn funny.
Could be. And when you look at the... You know, it's funny, because I've heard all the stories about what goes on behind the scenes, and, you know, I've heard all the Kurt Hennig stories and everything like that, but I haven't heard too many Jake stories, so it's... I might pick this DVD up. It sounds like it'll be entertaining.
Alrighty. Well, again, that's myspace.com/officialjakeroberts. And for those of you who want to find out more about it, click the link we're going to put up on the website. And again, thank you all for tuning in to the interactive interview here on WrestlingEpicenter.com. For James Walsh, Patrick Kelly.
Yo, yo.
And Mr. Nick Knoll.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week as we're going to bring you a long interview with the one and only Young Stallion. That's Young Stallion. Jim Powers. And this is going to be a really interesting interview. For those who don't know much about Jim, you're going to really learn a lot about him, and you're going to like this interview. Anyway, we'll see you next week here on the Interactive Interview here on WrestlingEpicenter.com.
Rich is bad, rich and humble, and love Hulk is ass.
A man who's never speechless but always seems to leave us that way, the Iron Sheik. The one and only shoot interview that you've heard about is now available on DVD in the WrestlingEpicenter.com store. What you just heard is just a sneak peek of the insanity inside. We have several other shoot interviews. Check us out, WrestlingEpicenter.com/store, or click the merchandise link at WrestlingEpicenter.com.
Trust me.
Welcome back to the interactive interview here on WrestlingEpicenter.com as we are now being joined on the Newsmaker line by arguably one of our most popular interviews of all time. Coming back once again, Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, it's an honor to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Alrighty, Jake. Well, a lot's changed. The last time we spoke to you, you were living in England, and we've heard a little bit about that. So what brings you back stateside?
Well, I'm an American. That helps. I got fed up with the bad food, the bad weather, and, 3.5 years was long enough.
All right. Well, we welcome you back, and since you've been back, you've done a lot on the wrestling circuit, WWE releasing a DVD, appearing in TNA. Basically, what do you think? How do you like being back on the American circuit?
Well, being on the American circuit, maybe circus is a better word. You hear these independent shows, and now you see so much that's wrong with the talent today, with the way that shows are run. Hardcore this, hardcore that. I don't agree with any of that. Then you turn on the television, and it gets worse.
Now, speaking of hardcore, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but speaking of hardcore, you were the referee of the Monsters Ball at TNA's Bound for Glory event. Were you disappointed with the way that match turned out? Because it looked like you were a little upset with the hardcore action that was going on in that match.
I just think it's a waste, and I think it's ridiculous. I don't think it sells tickets. I think that people can see something like that on just about any street corner in America today. We're there to entertain and to wrestle, and it's a lost art right now. You know, there's not people out there doing it. Yet, they argue and say, well, that's not what the people want to see. Bull. Not much language. Bull. Blah. Because if you go out there and do grab a hold, the people get with it. You know, it's just that they're not be given that opportunity. And, my gosh, wrestling's been around since the beginning of time. You know, first there was Romans and Lions against dudes and Christians and a guy named Jesus. No, Jesus, I'm sorry. And, you knew who the good guys were, who the bad guys were. But today, you don't know who's good, who's bad. They label people. They prostituted something that was just pretty simple to begin with, and did have a sense of value and morals. And today it's just, wow. If you want to see comedy, turn on Seinfeld. If you want to see sex, then turn on one of the Playboy channels or whatever. But if you want to see wrestling, you should be able to turn on a channel that has wrestling. When you turn on the Raw now, you get 15, 20 minutes of wrestling and a two-hour show.
Absolutely, and it's funny you should mention that, because you actually write reviews of Raw on your MySpace page. Now, some have said, many of your critics say that you're doing that trying to get attention from WWE, maybe to get a position where you're an advisor or something like that. Do you think that's fair, or is that them just being idiots?
That's just them want to speculate and do whatever they want to do. The reason I'm doing it is because I love wrestling.
Excellent.
And, if they happen to read it and they change something, great. But I don't want to be patted on the back for it. I don't want a job. I wouldn't last for about 15 minutes up there because I'd strangle somebody. I mean, I see so much up there. It's just so ridiculous. And, you know, they're not putting out a wrestling show anymore. They're WWE, not WWF. It stands for Worst Wrestling Ever. It's pretty simple. And maybe I'm too old, and maybe that day's gone, but I still think there's a market out there for real wrestling. I think there's still people out there that enjoy it.
I would too.
If not, they wouldn't be making so much money off this WWE 24/7 showing all these old matches.
And taking that even one step further, are you aware that even the classic wrestling action figures are more popular than the ones of the newer guys?
Oh, absolutely, because they were characters. They were real. They were individuals. They weren't cookie cut, on a platter and served up all at once. I mean,
I'll tell you another thing that goes really well is the classic Superstar DVDs, and you did one of those with the WWE, and I have to say it was a very good collection of all your best work and your matches and your interviews and stuff. How did you enjoy doing that?
I did it because I'm a prostitute. I'm a streetwalker. I'm a call girl. I don't like the little bit larger piece of the pie, but I didn't think they got the best of my work. Not at all. I think the best of my work was in the Mid-South days and in the beginning of my WWF career. Georgia Championship Wrestling was some of my best work. You know, bar none, Monty Garvin and I, those were classics, and they were a joy, and everybody went home saying, damn, that was a fight. It was.
Now, when you were in the UK, you actually ran a bit of a school of sorts, and you were doing shows here and there, and I know that there's a lot of things that go over there that are a problem with running shows and things like that, but did you ever think maybe about doing something like that in the Florida area, maybe starting to train some guys?
I would love to do it, but, it takes commitment out of the kids. You know, bottom line, I thought about doing a once-a-month thing or whatever, and that's no good. If you're going to learn, you need to be someplace and stay there until you get it down. You know, it would be much, much better for everyone if people could come in for, 60 days, train every day. Because the bottom line is, now everybody's mind's so screwed up from what they think is the right way and what they think they need to do, that the hardest part would be erasing that all out of their brains and making them start over. Because when I train you, I'm going to make you do it my way or it's the highway. And it's a slow process because I feel like that you shouldn't move on to the next thing until you have the first thing absolutely perfect and you can do it in the dark with your eyes closed. And today it's not like that. I mean, hell, some of the crap I see some of these kids do, I'm like, that's a damn shame because that kid's going to be crippled in 5 years and nobody's going to remember his name.
I promise you we will get to talk about the Snake Tales DVD that's coming out, but before I get there, just going off of that, we had Missy Hyatt on probably a couple of years ago now, and I know you know Missy. She made a comment to me that actually has stuck with me, and I throw it at people when we have this kind of conversation. She said she was managing an independent show in Florida, and in the first minute of the match, she saw 10 finishing moves.
Yeah.
Did you agree with that?
Everybody's going for the cheap pop. Most of these guys forget that the fans bought tickets to watch them. They go out and get in the ring, and as soon as it gets quiet out there, they panic and want to do all this sort of ridiculous stuff. I mean, I watch WWE, and I watch, 7 or 8 DDTs every week, for high spots. And everybody says, well, Jake, don't you get upset about that? No, not at all. You know why?
Why is that?
Because whenever they do it and a guy kicks out, people at home go, when Jake Roberts did, you didn't get your butt up. That must mean that Jake's a little bit better than you. Absolutely. Less is more. When you destroy your credibility in that ring, you are no longer a draw, as far as I'm concerned, because you destroy your credibility, people don't want to see you. It's sort of like having a girlfriend or have a relationship, and you're with her for 20 years and you never stepped out of that relationship, but maybe one night she went out with Jake Roberts and you got stupid and you wound up having sex with a midget, and you go back to her and tell her, and you say, you know, I never did that before, but damn Jake, you know, I'm a midget, but I'll never do it again. Do you think she believes that? No. You're a liar. You've been a cheater all your life. And it's the same thing in the ring. When you destroy your credibility, they don't want to see you no more. You're just another one of those guys, another one of those phonies.
Right.
You know, it's like, who's tough? The guy that gives 9 clotheslines or the guy that gives up from 9 clotheslines?
Absolutely. Let me ask you...
Because you're both liars. You know?
All right, let me ask you this question. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but something that's bothered me a little bit, and I'm doing a lot to promote the show, but I'm not sure that I agree with why I'm doing it, is the Hulk Hogan's Celebrity Championship Wrestling. Now, my problem with it, and tell me if you're on board with me on this, my problem with it is that after 4 hours of wrestling, they are sent out to the ring to do a basic match, and I think everybody knows that you need a little bit more than 4 hours training to have any kind of match, even the most basic.
The magic of television, huh? You snip the tape 50 times, have you to retake it, and nobody at home knows that. I was up for doing some of that on that show, and thank God they didn't call me, because, again, I wouldn't have lasted 15 minutes. So I said, what I think, and I'm in trouble. It's just a shame that I've watched it once, and it totally disgusted me. You know, God, you know, I mean, please, give me a break. You know, I mean, I know that he got lawyer's fees and all this stuff going on in his life and divorces and all that stuff, but do you really have to do something like that?
So you do think it hurts the integrity of wrestling?
I think it hurts the integrity of people that watch it. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, Jake, we talked a little... Yeah, absolutely. We talked a little bit about the Pick Your Poison DVD, and now you're starting to release a series. Now, you probably don't remember our interview from a few years ago, but during it, we were discussing the idea of you writing a book. At the time, I was helping out Ricky Steamboat with a book that has still not been released, and you had said, no, you didn't really want to do a book. You were more interested in doing videos because you couldn't put what you wanted to say into text. Is that what these Snake Bites DVD or Snake Tales DVDs are going to be all about?
Well, the Snake Tales is basically ribs and stuff and practical jokes that we play on each other on the road or in hotel rooms or bars or in the ring or in the dressing room or places we shouldn't have been. And it's all humor, you know, and a lot of fun. But that's the first one. And starting this weekend, I'm starting to do something called The 50 Answers to the 50 Questions You Were Always Afraid to Ask Jake Snake Roberts.
Uh-oh.
And they will be submitted online. On the MySpace, and we will be answering probably a lot more than 50, and hopefully there'll be questions there that will actually help people understand what was going on in the business and what this business is really about. I'm not going to answer dumb questions like, what was your favorite snake? You know, where do you keep your snake? Those questions won't be answered. I mean, I'm going to talk about how you get to where you want to be and different points in my career, different matches, what was the psychology on it? I mean, just about anything except ignorance. I'm tired of the same silly questions and, what was your snake's name? Hell. I mean, there were about 200 different Damians. I mean, just figure that out. And that's why it grew from week to week, different sizes and shrank, and, you know, I mean, that doesn't happen, but I understand it's part of the entertainment, but I want to get more about psychology about the wrestling ring and psychology behind matches, characters, interviews, things like that.
Absolutely, and that sounds really interesting. I think I heard that you're releasing these mostly through your MySpace page?
Yeah, it's myspace.com, official Jake Roberts. You know, there's a price list on there, and It's a rip buster, a piss in your pants type thing. There's some practical jokes on there from hell, and there's going to be a lot more coming.
Alrighty, Jake. Now, we end all interviews of late with this question, and I'm really looking forward to your answer to this. A year and a half ago, the Chris Benoit thing happened, and you being who you are with the
way that they treated you on the Beyond the Mat, and the way that it seems like they jump at any opportunity to bury you in the media these days. What did you think, being who you are, experiencing what you've experienced, the way that the media pounced on professional wrestling?
I mean, I understand media is about making a buck, and it's all shock therapy. I mean, you know, 50 years ago, if there was somebody that got murdered in your neighborhood, you freaked out for months. Today, somebody gets murdered, you don't even think about it. The way they jumped on that certain situation, it made me sick. What good came of it? I don't know of any. Do we have a right to judge Chris Benoit? No, we don't. Let God handle that.
Yep.
So, God knows what happened. That's all I got to say about it. I still respect the man and love him.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Snake Tales is out now on Official Jake Roberts at MySpace. And we really do appreciate you coming on the show, Jake. You're welcome anytime. I think last time we had you on three parts, and it lasted like 3 hours in length. I've got to tell you, it's always an honor to have you on the show, and we can't thank you enough for stopping by.
Well, let's do it again sometime soon.